Okay, let's begin. Okay, thanks. Okay, we're up to Perek Zayin, new Perek. This Perek is a difficult Perek. It deals with the Dalid Malchios. A very detailed description of the Dalid Malchios, or at least very symbolic. This is a very famous Perek. In this parak, there is a remiss to the Ketz Haimin, the time, the coming of Mashiach. That's in the middle of Perek Zayin, the beginning of Perek Zayin. Okay, let's right away jump into it. B'shnas chado lebal shatzar melech bavel. We're going back in time. We learned in the last parak, Perek Vav, about what happened during the first year of Daryovesh Hamodai. Immediately after the fall of Balshetzar ruled for about 2 years. And Belshazzar was the last king of Bavel. Belshazzar was the one who had witnessed the handwriting on the wall, and the queen mother advised Belshazzar to bring Daniel to interpret the handwriting on the wall, and he predicted that his malchus would come to a swift end, which indeed it did that very night, and it was transferred to Daryovish. And then last Perek, we learned about the entire story of what happened during the Malchus of Daryovish, where he threw Daniel into a den of lions because of the elaborate plot and scheme of the 122 governors and ministers. Now we're going backwards. Perek Zayin is returning back to what happened in the first year of Belshazzar. And it's not telling us something that relates to Belshazzar, some type of dialogue or some type of interaction between Belshazzar and Daniel, but rather discusses a private dream, a private vision that was shown to Daniel that would predict what would happen in the future of the world. So we're going back in time. Ein mukdam u'cha b'Torah appears to apply even to ksuvim. That's a very interesting concept. When it comes to the Torah, we're very well aware that there's something called ein mukdam u'cha b'Torah. Nothing is in perfect order. In fact, there are major sections that are out of order. The building of the Mishkan, the Chet HaEgel, even different parshios in the Lech Lecha with Avraham Avinu. Exactly what point in time when he left. Home to go to Eretz Canaan. There are things. There are different opinions. There are many things that are out of order in the Torah. We find the same concept here in Daniel. We were going backwards in time. We're returning to the era of Belshazzar of Bavel, and we are now going to learn about a vision that Daniel received. Now, this vision, the reason why it comes at the end is because now we're discussing things that are more private. We discussed the first six prakim, things where Daniel, in how he interacted with the Malchus, whether it was Bavel or Modai. Now, we finished that interaction between Daniel and the Umos HaOlam. Now, we're going to more private matters relating to things that he has seen himself. So here we go. B'shnas chad, the first year of Belshazzar, Melech Bavel, Daniel, Chalem, Chazod, Daniel saw a vision. The visions of his head were upon his bed. So it means he was lying down. There are different types of visions. Some prophets, they see things when they're standing, when they are awake. And some prophets, well, Daniel is not a prophet, but some chachamim have visions when they are sleeping. That it appears to be a lower level of prophecy or a lower level of vision when you are asleep. He was lying on his bed, and the visions of his head appeared to him. They die, and then Chelma, at that point in time, Chelma Chesav, he wrote down the dream, Reish Milin Amar, but he only wrote down or only expressed the Reish Milin. What he wrote down and what he recorded was just the Roshei Perakim. In other words, there are many things that are not told to us. A lot more was seen by Daniel than it was actually written, recorded, and expressed, told to the people, to the Hamoin Am. Because one of the main reasons, since in this dream it was revealed to him the Ketz Hayomin, the day, the time when Mashiach will come, the date of Mashiach, whenever that will be, and that is something which is not meant for the average person to know, which we'll discuss hopefully at some point in time. So it was hidden, it was just written Beremes. Those who need to know will know it, and those who do not need to know when the date of Mashiach is will not know it. So therefore it's just the Reish Milin just the Rosh Prakim, the Reish Milin Amar, he spoke. He gave over the Reish Milin, the Rosh, but not all of the details. Now, what are the Reish Milin? So here we go. Ani Daniel V'Amar. Daniel raised his voice and said, Chazei Haves B'chezvei Imalelia, I saw a vision. Chazei Haves means it was. Chazei a vision. B'chezvei. In it's an expression. Chazei, the word chazei and bechezvi are two words which really mean the same thing. Haves means it was. So these three words together mean that it came upon me a vision im lelia, in the evening at night, and in my vision va'aru ascended arba ruche shemaya from the four ends, the winds of the heaven, the four ends of the heaven, megichon, something came up. Aru means there were creatures, four creatures ascended from the four winds, sides of heaven, megichon, they were extracted. Megichon means yotzos, they came forth. The word megichon is very similar to the word va'aru. Va'aru also means
Rashi says
Aru
means Vihine.
Okay. For Vihine and behold, correct. Vihine and behold, Aru and behold, Arba Ruche Shemaya, Megichon, the four Ruchos HaShemayim brought forth something to the great Yam. The four heavens, the winds of the earth, cause something to come forth. Megichon means to come forth towards the Yama Rabbah. What's the Yama Rabbah? So it either means the Mediterranean or it means the Atlantic. I'm not exactly sure which Yam we are referring to, but to the great sea. Now what did he see? He saw... No, let's go through the Rashi's very quickly. Rashi Pasuk Aleph, Beidayim Chel Mechosav, Oz V'Roshay Hadvarim Omar. He only gave over the headings, not the details. V'aru V'hine, Arba Ruchei Shemayim Megichon, Dalet Ruchos Noishvais Boz, four blowing winds came, Midal Ruchos Olam, V'Nilchomos Im Hayom, and they battled with the sea Hagadol, V'Saros Oso, and there was a storm, and it quarreled. There was a very great storm. So here, over here, the four ruchos, the four winds, were causing a very great commotion on the sea. Pasuk Gimel, the arba chevon rav revon solkan min hayama. Four great creatures. Rav revon means large. Chevon means a creature, an animal. Solkan ascended min yama, from the sea. Shanyon da min da. Each one was different. Shayan means different one from the other. The nature of one was completely different than the nature of the other. And as we're going to see, these four creatures represent the Dalet Malchios. Who are Dalet Malchios? This we're not going to go into details today, but basically, as far as the most popular tradition is, Bavel, Paras Madai, Yavon, and Edom. But it's not so simple. But for right now, we'll just focus on that for the moment. The nature of each one is completely different. These four different nations are going to cause Klal Yisrael to suffer. The nature of the suffering is different. Shanyon da min da. Dalet. Kad Mosa, the first creature was Ke'arye. It had the appearance of a lion, but V'gapin di nishar lo, it had wings of a nesher. Chazei, now Nesha, we commonly translate as an eagle, which is not so simple. I'll explain in one more moment, but let's for right now just use the word Nesha. Chazei Haves, I saw this. Ad, I saw this first creature, which had the appearance of a lion with wings of an eagle. Adi miritu gape, until the wings fell off. The wings fell off, and then ad miritu gapa unetilas min ara, it came out of the earth. It was removed from the earth. It ascended from the earth. The al raglayin, it stood on its feet. Ke'enosh hakimas, like a human being. Enosh means a human being. It stood up. Animals normally crawl on four. Here, this lion, which had wings of a nesher, now stood erect like a human being on two legs. Ulevav enosh yehiv lo, and it was given the heart of a human being. Now, what does that mean? Let's see the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk gimel the arbach chevan dalid chayos for creatures shanyan dominda, different one from the other. Mishunos zomizo kad miso ke'arye v'gapendi nishalei. It looked like the first one looked like a lion, but had wings of a nesher. He ke'arye, it, the body was a lion. V'lo kanfe nesher. Which creature does this refer to according to Rashi? Rashi has been very selective. We'll do the one thing at a time. Rashi says, Zohi Malchus Bavel. This refers to Bavel. Then we have to remember that Daniel was now living in Tamal Shetzar. He's still living in the Golus of Bavel. Shehoisa Moshelis Ba'isa Shah. It was ruling at that moment of time when he had his vision. V'chach Roho Isa Yirmiah. Who is the one that called Bavel a lion? This is very important. It was Yirmiah. Shenemar. Olo Arye Misivcho, a lion has come out of the thicket from the forest. So the Omer Hine Kaasher Yideh Hanesher. We have also in Yishai, in the other pasuk in Yirmiah, which also says it was a lion. Now Rashi doesn't tell us, but who was the one that said that it has wings of eagles? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Toichacha says Kasha Yideh Hanesher, and Chazal, lean at some point in time, we'll come across again. I'll tell you more of the details. Here it is. I found it right now here. This is a Moshe. Here is the Medrash. Loma Ro Daniel Shtei Demuyos. Why did Daniel see a creature that had two different? That was a creature that had two characteristics: a lion and an eagle. Lekayim Divrei Moshe. The Divre Yirmiyah, Moshe Omar, Moshe said in the Toichacha in Devarim, Kaasher Yideh Hanesher, like the Nesher swoops down. The Yirmiyah Omar, Hine Kaarye Yale, a lion will ascend. Or all another pasuk, Ola Arye Mi Subichko, the lion has ascended from the thicket. So we have here two different Toichachas, two different warnings. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyah. Moshe compared Golus of Bavel to a Nesher, and Yirmiyah compared Golus Bavel to an Aryeh. Here, Daniel is seeing the two of them together, the combination of the Nesher and the Aryeh. Now, what is a Nesher? Let's just take a step back and discuss a Nesher. We know that in Parashas Re'eh and in Parashas Shemini, the Torah lists the non-kosher birds. There are 24 in total. Between, if we go and summarize what it says in Parashas Re'eh and Parashas Shemini, there are a total of 24 non-kosher birds. The Gemara says, from the Sacha call, what makes a bird not kosher? If it has four simonim. Four, what are the four simonim? Number one, if it's a kurkava niklaf, it has to have a zepek is a gizzard, and kurkava, different parts of the bird, has a gizzard, and the crap can be peeled. Okay, different parts of the bird, which are different parts of the body of the bird, the crop has to be able to be peeled when you remove from the neck. You have to be able to peel them into two parts, and it has to have a gizzard, a certain part of the bird which crushes the food very intensely, and it has to have an etzba yisera, an additional finger, and the fourth simon is it's a predator. It is a doires. It preys upon other creatures. If a bird has any one of these four simonim, it is automatically a non-kosher. It is a non-kosher bird. If it does not have a zepek, if its kurkavon is not niklaf, if it does have the etzba yisera, and if it's a predator, then it is a non-kosher bird. It could be I'm not saying all the details correctly, but those are the basic ideas of the basic yisodos of what makes a bird not kosher. Then the Gemara goes on to enumerate the 24 birds and takes note that most of them have three of the non-kosher signs. Some of them have two, and maybe one or two has only one non-kosher sign, but the Nesher has all four. the Nesher is the worst. The Nesher doesn't have anything that is positive to show that it's a kosher bird. The Nesher has all four things are missing. It's a predator, it doesn't have an extra finger, and it does not have a zepek, and its kurkavon is not niklaf. In other words, if you have one of the signs, if you have one of these qualities, that's a good sign. It means you're partially kosher. To be kosher, you have to have four simanim. I'm not saying it correctly. To be kosher, you need to have four simanim. You may not be a predator. Your kurkavon should be niklaf. You need a zepek, and you need an etzba yisera. If you have all four of these things, then you are in business, you're kosher. If you're missing one of these four things, then you are not kosher. All the birds have various combinations of these different simonim. The one that is the worst of the worst, that doesn't have any good quality to it, is the nesher. The Nesher, the Gemara says, is missing all four kosher signs, and therefore is certainly non-kosher. In fact, it's listed as one of the non-kosher birds. Now, that's a problem. That's why we know today that an eagle cannot be the Nesher, or at least an eagle that we're familiar with, because the eagle that we have, I think, does have the extra finger. The eagle that we're familiar with does have a Etzba Yisera, so when it's translated in all of the Svarim, the Nesher is the eagle. That's connected with Farish Gemara, which says that the Nesher doesn't have any of the kosher simonim. But the Nesher stands out that it is the most not kosher among all of the birds. Bavel is compared to a Nesher. Bavel is the most not kosher. It's the most dangerous. Does not have any positive qualities. And therefore, it was the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Nebuchadnezzar was compared to the Bavel. Gold had, it was the head of gold. The head is what controls the body. It's the most dangerous part of the body because that's the control center of the body. This is Bavel. It's not a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu compared the Golus to a Nesher, Kasha Yideh HaNesher. Because when we take the 24 non-kosher birds, there are different levels of being not kosher. The bottom line is, it's not kosher. But some birds at least have one simon. Some have two simonim. Some have three. Not all the birds, none of the 24 birds, make it to all four simonim. But the Nesher is the worst. And that's why Bubble here is the worst. It destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Exil, Klal Yisrael, Meret Yisrael. They are compared to the Nesher, together with being compared to the Ari. But then it goes on to say that the gap in the wings will fall off, which means that ultimately Bavel will be weakened. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Adin Meritu Gapam, a middle of the Rashi in Pasuk Dalet, until the wings fall off. Nimritu Chinafeha, the wings will fall off. Zuhi Remes Lima Polosa. This is a sign that Daniel, he sees Bavel ascend. He sees this Aryeh with its wings, and suddenly the wings fall off. The mobility of the Aryeh disappears. Dissipates. The wings fall off. Next, Unetilas Min Ara, Loshon Nistalik. Nitilas means it was removed from the earth. Nistalik Min Aretz, Remes, Shetevatel Hamalchus Min Haaretz. It will cease to exist. Then it goes on to say, Ulevav Enosh, it was given a heart of man. Loshon Chalshus. Human heart is weak. Man is weak compared to animals. Animals are much stronger, much more ferocious, much more powerful than a human being. So this, that it says that this creature, this lion with wings of an eagle, was given the heart of man, means it will become weak. Lashon chalshus kmo yodu hagoyim enosh hema. Mankind, the nations, will know they're nothing more than a weak creature, selah forever. So let's review the pasuk one more time. Pasuk Dalid, Kadmosa, the first of the four creatures that ascended from the Yam, Ka'aryeh, had the appearance of a lion. The Gapin Dinisharla had wings of an eagle. This refers to Bavel. Bavel is compared to a lion by Yirmiyah, was compared to a Nesher by Moshe, had these two qualities they morphed into this creature. Chazei Haves, I saw this creature ascend, ad, for a period of time, Babel only lasted 70 years, adi miritu gapa, until the wings fell off. The koyach of flying, of mobility, of Babel came to an end. And then, what happened next? Unitilas minara. It was removed from the earth. V'al ragloin ke'enosh chokimas. This also refers to weakness. It did not have the koyach of a lion that could crawl on four legs. It stood up on two legs. Ulavav enoshi hivla. It was given the heart of man, another form of weakness. So there are three in total. There are three different levels of the weakening of a Babel: the losing of its wings, it's been removed from the earth, whatever that symbolizes, and the fact that it stands up. And it's given the heart of a human being. The heart of a human being in this context represents its weakness. Next, Pasuk Hey, Va'aru, then behold. Va'aru is behold. Cheva, Achari, Sinyana. A second creature ascended from the sea. Domya Lidoiv. And it looked like a bear. Who is the bear? So we're going to see in a moment the Rashi says this refers to Paras, Persia. Ulvilistarchat hokimas. Star means the side. It literally means a cheek. A cheek is one side. This creature that looks like a bear did not stand in the center. It stood on the side. Vilistarchat, to one side of the stage, Hokimas, it stood. And what was in the mouth of this bear? Usilos ilin bipuma. There were three ribs of meat in its mouth. Bein shina, in between its teeth. Shina v'chein armin la. And there were people, or angels, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were creatures speaking to this bear, Kumi, arise, Achuli Bisar Sagi, eat a lot of meat. Okay, so this concludes the vision of the second creature. Let's see Rashi. Ochori Acheres Tinyana, she also Shnir Minayam. This was the second creature that ascended from the sea. Dom Yeladoiv, it looked like a bear. Zeremes the Malchus Paras, a remes to Persia. Shetimlech Achar Babel. Now we know that's not 100% accurate because Persia ruled, there was a delay in between the Malchus of Babel and Paras. There was Modai. Modai ruled for 1 year. For whatever reason that suddenly started to be discussed, it's not mentioned Modai, the Malchus of Modai, Daryavesh HaModai, who was mentioned in great detail in the previous parak, over here is not discussed in this vision of Daniel, in his vision of Belshazzar.
Paras gets top billing.
Yeah,
Paras u'Modai, the two go together. Paras in the Gilas Esther, it's always Paras u'Modai. But here in Perek Vav, the previous Perek was always called Modai u'Paras. So it's interesting, the order, there's a change. In Sefer Daniel, if you ever look in the back of the previous Perek, it's always according to the laws of Modai u'Paras. And here it's called Paras u'Modai. And the real order, it was first Modai u'Paras. But in this vision of Daniel, he's seeing this dove, this bear, and the bear is being compared to, Paras. Now, why they can call the bear? So this is a Gemara. They eat and they drink like a bear. They are fat. They are padded with flesh like a bear. The Persians like to eat. Yeah, they're hairy.
Hairy like a bear.
Misubolim means hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wearing a coat.
A coat of what? A flesh or a coat of hair?
Hair.
A coat of hair? Okay. I'm sorry. Umisubolim bibasar they are, but this is Musum bibasar it says. Umisubolim bibasar. They are misurbal with basar. Okay, so I guess it's a borrowed term. So maybe it literally means a coat of hair, but here we're taking that expression, we're saying that they're fat. They're padded with a lot of flesh like a bear. Dami l'doiv. Now, the Rashi quotes the Medrash. The dove is spelled with a vav. Why then here is the vav missing? So Rashi says that the word in Aramaic, dave, means a wolf,
Dalet.
A ze'ev.
The Dalet switches with the Hebrew Zion.
Zion, Zay. The Dalet
like
switches.
Zahava.
Zahava, okay.
And here the Dave
We're switching the Zayin with the Dalit, so we're turning it into a Zayf. Because if it really only meant a beer, it should say, with it should have been spelled Dalit Vav Beis. Being that it's Choser, it's missing the Vav, so we have a right to interpret it. Rashi says, L'dev Ksiv, Kemo Diba Targum Shel Zayf, Sha'av Zayf Nikreis Malchus Paras, because there are other sources, where there's another creature that is called a lion. Shenemar, Alkein Hikam Aryeh Miyar Zayf, Arvos Yishadden. This is a pasuk also refers to that the lion from the another pasuk. I'm not familiar with this pasuk, but the idea is that there also the Malchus of Paras is also compared to a wolf. So we have something very interesting when it comes to the Malchus of Bavel. There are two creatures: a Nesher, a lion. We call an eagle, and a lion. The Malchus of Paras is compared to also to two creatures: a wolf, a dave, and a dove, and a bear. Next, the listada. What was the significance? So we mentioned this many times. Many farshim say the same ideas, because each one of the malchus really is broken into two parts. We said many times that the malchus of Bavel is divided into the malchus. The malchus of Bavel is divided into the Kastim, Chaldeans, and the Babylonians. The Kastim and the Babylonian. And Paras, we know, was divided. Really, its predecessor was Modai. So it could be that the wolf refers to Modai, and the Persians refer to the bear. So in each creature there's an allusion to another creature, because really in each malchus there's really a double malchus of the Dal malchus. But we'll see more. The listar chad hakimas, and then this creature suddenly stood on the side. What does it mean? Lutzadechot amda. What does that mean? Remes l'shayivsek malchus bavel, that the malchus of the bear Paras will not immediately ascend and take control. They will stand in waiting. Who will they wait for? Their predecessor Modai to first have its share of malchus. So it's the way the pasuk describes is that when we have these two different kingdoms, Paras and Modai, the dominant one that will make the greater mark in the world will be Paras. Modai was only there for a short time, was for 1 year. So we give it the Ikar Chashivus, but it stood on the side and waited patiently until Modai had its turn. And that's the significance of this vision of where the bear stood on the side for a period of time. One more time, the words of Rashi. When the Malchus of comes to Tamtin, it will Paras Shana Achas Shetim Lech Modai, will wait 1 year until Modai has its share of Malchus. Next, then it says there were three ribs in the mouth of Paras. So this we have to bring out the history books, and there is much discussion. It's not clear what this is. There are different, the old historians will all those who do research will try to tell you exactly what this refers to. But Rashi just says the very bekitzer, there were three ribs in its mouth, shalosh tzalos, three ribs. Rabbo Seinu Perishu, gimel medinos hayutamid mordois ba. There were three regions, three states that were always rebelling against the mother country of Paras. Umash limois ima, they would rebel and then they would make peace, rebel, make peace, going back and forth. Pa'amim bol asan, sometimes the malchus, the mother country Paras, would swallow them up. Upa'amim poltosan, would spit them out. Zehu bepume, that's what it means here in its mouth, between its teeth. It means when you chew something, it's sometimes in the mouth, sometimes it comes out. Sometimes when you chew, it's between your teeth, sometimes it's out of your teeth. The mother country, the dove, the bear, Paras, was always quarreling with these three different states within its malchus. That's one interpretation. Then Rashi provides another interpretation of the significance of these three ribs in its mouth. Talas Al in the three ribs, Shalosha Malacham, the three major kings that were of significance in the Malchus of Paras, Shayamdu the Paras, Koresh, the first one was Koresh, the second one was Achashverosh, that's the story of Purim, and then Achashverosh's son Daryavesh, Daryavesh of Parsi, not to be confused with Daryavesh Hamodi from Perek Vav, but we learned yesterday, in the last week, Daryavesh Ha HaParsi, who was the son of Achashverosh. There is discussion in the Gemara, was he the son of Esther? Some learn yes, that Esther was married to Achashverosh, she was the queen, but did she have children from Achashverosh? Some learn yes, Daryavish was her biological son, and this is her, the son of Esther, and he was Daryavish Shabana Havayis, and he was the one that actually had the base and the Koresh, who really also gave permission. Koresh started the process. After Daryavish HaModai, when he gave over the reigns of Malchus to Koresh, Koresh allowed the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then people from Eretz Shultz, the Goyim, there, they sent letters of Lashon Hara to Koresh, and Koresh stopped, put a stay on the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and it took many years later, I think it was 18 years later, where after the reign of Achashverosh, Daryavish HaParsi allowed the Jews to continue rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So these are the three kings. It is interesting that just like there are three kings in the Malchus of Bavel, there are three kings in the Malchus of Poras. Bavel, we have Nebuchadnezzar, Evel, Merodach, Daryavish HaMadai. And in Poras we have Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryavish HaParsi, three kings. Bosar Sagi, Bosar Harbe, they were very big ballet times. Now that we've got this pasuk, let's review the pasuk one more time inside. Pasuk K one more time. Va'aru, and behold, Cheva, Achari, Simyona, another creature who was number two in the list. Sinyana means number two. Achari means another. Domyo Lidoiv was similar to a bear, but it doesn't say with the vav, it says it without the vav, which means it was similar to a wolf. So this Malchus had two different characteristics. A wolf is a very scary creature, and it was also a bear. The Listarchad Hokimas, it stood on the side, which we now know according to Rashi means it waited patiently until its predecessor Modai would have its chance to rule the world, and then it took over. Slos Ilin, three ribs were in its bipuma, bein shina, in between its teeth, referring to the three different states that were in a constant state of rebellion against the mother country, or the three kings that came from the nation of Paras, Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryavish, v'chein amin la, and so it was said to this nation, kumi achuli besar sagi, eat a lot of flesh. Okay, let's go further. We'll come back to some of these things a little bit later. I want to just run through the basic, it's a very hard pack. I want to go through the basic visions, and then we'll come through some midrashim when we finish the four basic creatures that have come through the world. Pasuk Vav, Bosar Dina. Afterwards, we're now up to creature number three. Chazei Haves, I saw, it was seen to me. Va'aru, and behold, Achari, there was another creature. Kinmar, like a leopard. Okay. V'la gapin arba, and this leopard had wings. Doesn't say the wings were similar to a nesher, it just says it had wings. It was a leopard with wings. The uf al gaba, which it would fly with. There were four wings to this leopard that were on its body, which al-gaba means upon it, which it would use to fly. The arba'ore shin l'chevsa, and this creature had four heads. The shaltan yehivla, and authority was granted to this leopard. So let's review. The leopard had four wings, and it had four heads, and it was granted authority. Let's see Rashi Pasik Vav. Gapin arba vi arba roshin. What are the four wings, and what are the four heads? Heim dalid moishlim, shecholak lohem, Alexandros smoktem bimoso. The Malchus started out with, by Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. He was Alexander called Alexander Mokdon. When he died, he was 30. Macedonia. When he died, he was 31 to 32 years old. Right. Different versions. And when he died, what happened? No one succeeded him. The Malchus was divided into four different groups.
I thought it's two. It's the Talmud and
the Seleucid. There was Egypt. The support and even the secular source, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Alexander Mokdon Bemoso Es Malchuso Kamoshakos Besefer Yosef Ben Gurion. That's Josephus. Shachai Hazos Hashlishus Himalchus Antiochus. The third one is Antiochus, which is Yavon. Vinikun Nomer Al Shem Shais. Why is this creature called a Nomer, a leopard? It has spots. It decreed edicts upon the Jewish people that were different one from the other. Many multiple gezeros, and each gezera was one was worse than the next. That's really what it means over here. Mishunai zomizo, we say in English, one worse than the next. And this was why they were called the malchus of Namer, spats, the shalton yehivle, umemshala nitnola malchus. Authority was granted to this kingdom. Now let's over here see more detail. The mitsudos David, varu pasike, and behold. And this dream, let's first see pasuk vav. Okay, we're middle of pasuk vav. Basar achazer roye hayis soy b'hinei acheres olam kinamel v'algufay arba ketuf. On its body there were four wings. Kishel oif v'arba roshim hayul chaya hahi. And besides the four wings, there were four heads. Umemshol nitein lo, and it was granted authority. For whom merum was al malchus yavon al shem shagazu gezeros al yisrael meshunoi zo ze mize kinem kinomer haze hamenumar bechab bechabre bu bechabre vuros with different spats. The gof and arba, there were four wings. The arba roshin yirames shacharei mos. Alexandros, Melech Mogdon, Alexander the Great, after he died, Melech Yavon, Nechleka Malchuso Learba Malchios, four Malchios. Now here the Mitsudos is saying something that we were not familiar. This is from, we spoke about this very briefly, and hopefully we'll do this in more detail from the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is of the opinion, we always learn, everyone, the 99% of the Midrashim tell us that the four Malchios, that were the visions, so over here of Daniel throughout Shas, Rabbi Miller has a whole Sefer, 60 themes throughout Chazal where he shows the Dalet Malchios, and probably 99% of them, if I'm not mistaken, is the last of the Malchios is Edom. Edom, that's the last. We have Bavel, we have Bavel, after Bavel comes Parasumodai, Yavon, and then comes Edom. So here we have, here he says something different. He says that the last of the Dal Malchios is not Edom, but is Yishmael. Now look now. Now if that's the case, what then is in over here? The arba kinomar nimar bechav revuros v'kapin arba v'arba roshin yiram shachri mos alexanus melech mogdon melech yavon nechlekam alchus li arba malchus him Roma Rome. Rome is an extension of Yavon umitzrayim Egypt the Eretz Yisrael
Egypt. That would be your Ptolemaic
Uparas. So this is a Das Yochid. The Mitsudos is famous for taking the Shita of the Yochid, the Ibn Ezra, and
Ibn Ezra is the only one.
The only one that says this, but the Mitsudos, who's one of the most basic Parshanim on has been accepted in pretty almost every single edition of Tanakh. We had this in the beginning of the Daniel as well. He takes his approach and he learns that the fourth Malchus is Yishmael. So the fourth Malchus is Yishmael. Where then do we get the Malchus of Rome, Edom? So Edom was a descendant of Yavon. Edom comes from Kittim, and in Parashas Noach, one of the children of Yavon was Kittim. So being that Rome is a descendant of Kittim, and that's Yavon. When we say that Yavon, the Malchus of Yavon came to an end with the death of Alexander the Great, and the Malchus was divided into four parts, as it says over here, this creature, which starts out as one, has four wings and four heads, when he died, is broken into four parts, and one of those four parts is Rome. And the second one is Mitzrayim, the third is Eretz Yisrael, then is Paras. So let's, for right now, let's work with that. Let's now go to Pasuk Zayin. Bosar Dina. Okay, just a little bit more. Bosar Dina. It's a long pasuk. After this, Chazei Haves, I saw Bechazei Lili in the vision of the evening. Varu, and behold, Cheva Rivi'ah, a fourth creature. Dechila, That was terrifying. The Im Soni Visakifa Yatirta, which had Ema, another word for fear, I do not know the difference. The word Dechila and the Ema Soni are very similar, two different expressions of fear and terror. Visakifa, power and might, Yatira, beyond what is normal. Extra special, extraordinary might. Vishinayin had teeth, the farzella of iron, iron teeth. Ravravan that were extremely great and mighty. Ochla, it would eat, umadka, and chew, to obliterate, and to crush, to break into teeny little pieces. Ushe'ora, and whatever remained after this creature would chew and crush with its teeth, he would stamp with its feet. Ushe'ora birag la rafsa, it would trample with its feet. Vehi mishanya min kol chevasa di kodama, it was different than the three previous creatures. Vikar nayin asar la, and it had 10 horns. Okay, so now we're learning this in parallel, learning first Rashi and learning then according to the Mitzudos. Now let's see Rashi. First Rashi, who is this fourth creature? According to Rashi, the four Malchios are going to be Bavel, that was the first creature, the lion with the wings of the eagle. The second, the bear, was Parasumadai. The third, according to Rashi, is Yavan. And Rashi doesn't tell us the detail, but Rashi just basically says that after Yavan came to an end, the Malchios was divided into four parts. He doesn't break it down for us. And now we come to the fourth creature, Pasuk Zayin in Rashi, Bechezve Leila, the Laila Acheres, Hashalosh, a different night. So it appears that what Daniel is telling us is a fascinating insight. All of this did not take place in one dream. That the dreams, you ever hear such a thing that this is something extremely unique? When you have dreams in Tanakh, there's no such thing as to be continued. There's no such thing when you're dreaming in the middle of the night, you get it, you know, it comes on the screen to be continued. Stay tuned for scenes from the next episode. Doesn't happen. But here you have such a thing. Daniel has a dream to be continued. And then on the following night, sequel. We're going further. It's an incredible type of, I don't know if we have a precedent for this anywhere else in Tanakh, where the dreams are not, the visions of what's going to happen, of an entire sequence of events, are not given in one shot. It's given in different dreams, which one continues where you left off previously. Think about it. We don't have that by Yosef. We don't have that by Paro. We don't have that, something we don't hear about. The first three creatures you saw one night, because since this Malchus, Yishakal, connected the first three, that's why it was given to him in a separate dream. Now, what did he see about this creature? It had teeth of iron to it, shinei barzala, umatka, madika v'sheicheches hodek, it would grind up to fine little pieces, ushara, moiser achilas, whatever it did not leave over. And then this creature had 10 horns. So Rashi is going according to the 99% of the Midrash, that the fourth Malchus is Edom, is not like the Mitzudos quoting from the Ibn Ezra, that it is Yishmael. The Karnin Eser, Eser Kronois Zo, Perish Loha Maloch, Shehem, the Maloch, who was giving over this dream to Daniel, explained to Daniel, Shehem Asorim Melochim Shiamdu Leroimi, Koideim Leaspasionus, Shechore Vesabayis. There were 10 kings that existed in Rome, 10 Caesars that exist in Rome until we come to Aspasianus, who authorized the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash by sending his top general, Titos. Titos came to destroy the Bayis Sheni. So that's how Rashi interprets the pasuk. The fourth creature is, it doesn't even, this creature, by the way, doesn't tell, compare it. The first three, we have at least a dimyon, a nesher with an aryeh, a doiv. The third was a leopard. The fact that at least we have a name of a creature gives us a handle on it. You go to the zoo, and you ask the zoologist, how do you deal with a leopard? And there is a guidebook. There are a set of rules.
Characteristics.
How do you deal with a lion? How do you deal with an eagle? How do you deal with a bear? There's a guide. Go online, you'll find out, you'll figure out all the rules, what they eat, what they do, all the tricks, how you train them. So there, what does that mean? When it comes to the first three Golios, exiles, the first three, we have a mahalich. There's a playbook. There is an instruction manual, what we can do to survive. But the fourth, we're in a lot of trouble. Because the fourth, it's not defined. The most important thing, you go to a doctor, is they first have to define. They spend most of the time diagnosis, to understand what are you suffering from. If we don't know what you're suffering from, then there's no hope. We can't give you. Once we know what we're dealing with, then we have a mahalech. So the first three, there's a diagnosis. We know exactly what we're dealing with. But the fourth creature, we don't even know what we're dealing with. It doesn't give us, it doesn't tell us the name of the creature. So there's very, very great trouble. According to Rashi, this is Rome. And Rome is going to have 10 horns. A horn represents power, might. There are going to be 10 kings before we're going to have the king that's going to come along and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's see the Mitzudos, who disagrees, is not learning with the approach of Rashi. The Mitzudos is following the other Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra, that says the fourth Malchus is Yishmael. So what then does it mean, the 10 horns according to the Ibn Ezra? Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Zayin, Basar, Achazeroy Yisim Marashenis Halayla, Huhine Oilel Chai Harvis, a fourth creature ascended, Noiro, it was terrifying. Ubalas Ema, it was a creature full of fear, instilled fear. V'lo chizik yisera umiruba, it had incredible power beyond description. V'lo shinayim shalbar, it had teeth of iron. V'hema gedolos, they were extremely large. V'ochle, it would eat v'shachaka, it would chadek, and it would crush into final pieces. V'anisha ramsa v'dorcha b'raglech, and the rebels left over, he would tremble with his feet. V'hi mishan, yohaisa mishunim in kol ha'chayis asher alu lufonecha. V'al ki lo imotzula dimyoin, b'chol ha'chayis sheb olam, being that we don't have something to compare it to among all the creatures. Lo omar lemohay sadoimik, mo shama b'shol shavishanis. V'ach omar shahisa mishuna mehen, all it says was that it was mishuna mehen, the karin, v'hoyilo eser kronos b'rosha. So here, according to this here, I could be a later one, he's going to explain, according to the Mitzudos, It had. Let's go. I don't want to do running out of time. But let's just read the next Mitzudos, because there's really, really where it explains. Okay. But let's just Pasuches. We'll do it again tomorrow. Pasuches. But let's just read the Mitzudos word now. Mispoin chayisi be'akronos. I look carefully at the horns. V'inei kerenach acheres ketano ola b'nei. The gimel min akronos harishonis neku uvnecha. Forget about that. We'll do that tomorrow. That's for the pasuk. V'elu. And there were eyes on the horns. V'inei einaim keini adam chayi be'keren zeh. V'af peh medaber advarim gedolim min aflam v'hu merames. Al malchois. Here's the part that we want to just discuss for this moment in time. What do these 10 horns refer to? V'hu merames. According to Ibn Ezra, that the fourth creature, the fourth Golus, is Yishmael. And it's going to be beyond description. And it's going to cause people to suffer with crushing labor. The Karnin Eser, this that it says that there are 10 horns, Yirmois ki tifshait malchus Yishmol berov hayishov uvehem eser malchios adirim. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran. I don't know. I just a joke. But it says here that the malchus of Yishmol will expand into 10 major nations. That's what it says. Not like Rashi, who says that the 10 horns mean they're going to be 10 kings, 10 Caesars. They're going to be 10 nations. V'hem eser malchios adirim v'hem b'roshin v'atzpen. He goes and he says what they are. Okay, so I don't know what these things are. Maybe we'll leave it for tomorrow. Behein Beroshan Behein V'Chalimin U'Micho Mitzrayim V'Afriki U'Malchus Yishmol Shechnei Oholim U'Polishtim V'El Barbar V'Kush. So he tells you exactly what these 10 nations are. If we're not familiar with what these things are. And then he goes on to say there's going to be another small horn, which we'll leave for tomorrow when we discuss in more detail what it means. Pasuk Ches, because we'll stop here. Yeah.
obviously I have a lot more material on this subject, but I just want to say that to equate Rashi's position, which is the
major position,
and the Ibn position is ridiculous. The Ramban destroys the
Ibn Ezra's
position in Parshas Bullock, and it's very forced.
Okay,
absolutely influenced by the era that he lived in,
okay,
the rise of the Muslim Empire
at the time.
I want to point out that the way I think the Mepharshim were able to determine that they were two separate nights is because at the first night he says the Chesve im Leila, and then each one, and after that,
Achara.
The last one, he says the same.
Another expression. Right. The Chesed, another, all over. So it means it was the second night. Very good. Okay.